Welcome back to another edition of First Team Podcast. I am your host, John Frusciante. This week's episode is presented by Diazza Sportswear. If you are in the market for custom soccer apparel, look no further than our friends based in New York City, Diazza Sportswear. If you want to learn more, check out their website, and their website is diazza.us. So on this week's episode, I will be joined by two contributors of First Team Podcast, a former pro soccer player Kiesel Broom, and former U.S. Soccer Federation President candidate and UPSL National Director Paul LaPointe. Over the past couple of days, there has been one topic that has fueled debates and various conversations on social media. So if you're not on social media, let me update you with what's going on. So New Amsterdam FC and Chicago House, both clubs are owned by the Girard family, and they were not initially included in the US Open Cup lineup. NAFC, over the weekend on Twitter, expressed their frustration. They posted a picture of their performance bond for the US Open Cup, proving everything is in order on that front, that they paid their performance bond and they had the paperwork and their receipt all sent, and they posted that on social media. But the main issue seems to be with NISA, and that is most likely the reason why Chicago House and New Amsterdam FC was not included in the US Open Cup lineup for the 2022 season. For whatever reason, and I'm speaking to my various contacts regarding this topic, and I'm hoping in the next couple of days we can have a more detailed article, but for now, we can just talk about NAFC's claims. And I will read out a couple of tweets from their Twitter account, and you can follow them on Twitter to read more of these tweets, because they're going off every couple of hours. So their tweet, directly from the New Amsterdam Twitter account, it is their official account, they said that if the Prooch family, so John Prooch is the commissioner of the league, and he employs various members of his family to work on behalf of NISA. So the tweet goes on to say that if the Prooch family had any interest in building a league, then they would not be trying to kick Chicago and New Amsterdam out of the league, two clubs with amazing brands and major markets that are willing to spend money building lower division football clubs. And the next tweet that I will read out is directly from New Amsterdam again, at NAFC NYC. So New Amsterdam and Chicago House have decided to play this season. We shall, however, continue to pursue our campaign of getting the commissioner fired. If neither team plays, it's because the commissioner is corrupt and self-serving at NISA League. So, at the time of recording, based off of the official account, it seems like the reason why they are not playing is because they want to see the financial details, the financial statements from the league, from NISA, and they're arguing that as a member, as a paying member of NISA, as a stakeholder of the league, we have a right to see what's going on behind the scenes. It gets all muddy there on what's actually going on behind the scenes, because there are details that we don't know at the moment, and I wanted to bring this up because it really is a very, very big topic to talk about. It seems like a small topic, but it is very important because it is a conversation that people have every single day. Are clubs actually stakeholders? Are they owners of the league? Do they own a percentage of the league? Do they really have a say? Or do they just have a vote and then the people at the top are influencing that decision for their members? So I will continue to speak to my various contacts regarding this topic, and I'm hoping in the next couple of days we will have a much more detailed storyline, and not just coming from one side, right? Not just coming from New Amsterdam. It's not just from the league to NISA, it's also the other member clubs. So we will have a conversation on that another time. So I will have more details on that in the next couple of days. You could check out our website at firstteampod.net. Now let's hear from Paul LaPointe regarding the NAFC NISA situation, along with the upcoming U.S. Soccer Federation election, which will take place in early March. There has been speculation over the past couple of days regarding clubs potentially not playing this spring in NISA. So since those rumors, we have a few tweets to read out from New Amsterdam FC. Paul, I would like to get your thoughts on these tweets. Of course, we can only sort of talk about what has been put out. And of course, there is more details. I have been trying to do that digging behind the scenes. But a lot of people just don't want to speak on this matter from both sides. So, New Amsterdam said last night, they said, and that's Wednesday night, they said that they will be playing in NISA. They send their Open Cup registration to U.S. Soccer before the December deadline, along with the check for the Open Cup performance bond and registration. So NISA, they did not announce it, and they did not include them in that list of clubs from NISA competing in the U.S. Open Cup. That's how this all started. And then even New Amsterdam, they went and they took a picture of their check proving to all of the lower division U.S. soccer supporters and stakeholders, along with a receipt claiming that they have officially paid their performance bond and that they have gone through all the steps to compete in the U.S. Open Cup in 2022. They also went on to say, New Amsterdam FC on Twitter, they said that John Prooch, the commissioner, is trying to push NAFC and Chicago House out of the league, despite being two strong brands in major markets. Only in America would one man's personal agenda determine a team's league status rather than pro rel like in Europe. He is scared that the other team owners might agree with us that we might need a new leadership team and a new commissioner at NISA. He is trying to push us out in an attempt to keep himself, his son, and his daughter employed by NISA. So Paul, taking all that in, you were a member of the UPSL. How would you handle a situation like this?
As far as Prooch is concerned, there could be some systemic issues on bylaws and policies when one member joins NISA. As a partner of the league, and how is that broken down? I mean, for a team owner, what rights do they have? What voting rights do they have? I've made this comment before. When league owners personally own the league or family members thereof and take personal claim to the sport, they make bad decisions because at the end of the day, they own the league. So is it an issue where the teams do not own the league based on what they pay for? Do they know these things up front? It seems to be very ambiguous. And I made a comment, I think, a couple of months ago about NISA on social media. NISA is very confusing to me. It doesn't have a defined blueprint in my eyes. So I could imagine being a team owner wanting to join that league, it would probably be the same. I did have dealings with John Prooch and some of his management team when he was an executive with Club 9 Sports about a couple of years ago, and I was very nervous to move forward personally in the market of Hartford at the time with Club 9 as well. So, you know, it's in front of us, it's there. But again, tagging along with the professional league standards that the USSF sanctions as a Division III, are they overseeing proper bylaws, policies that this league submits to the USSF to make sure it protects the very teams that are sanctioned underneath it? So, great questions.
Lastly, let's just end on the US Soccer AGM with the upcoming presidential elections. We have the two candidates. We have Sidney Cohn and Carlos Cordero both running. Mm-hmm. So I guess we're about, I guess, over a month, right, out from the election.
Yeah.
So how do you feel going into this? What are your initial thoughts?
Obviously, for family reasons, I removed myself from the process, but I find it very, very, I would say, disturbing at this point, where Cordero, who resigned a couple of years ago or a year ago under some serious systemic issues within the USSF regarding the NWSL and equal pay and things like that, now to come back in, I find it very confusing and very troubling that number one, who I think it brought a transparency issue to people who actually nominate candidates, to, you know, who nominated him to come back in when he resigned under some pretty serious conditions. So I'm concerned about that. And, you know, once again, I'm concerned about the true motivation of why he would want to come back in on something that he possibly contributed, even as a VP, of some of these problems that existed and he turned a blind eye to at a governance level.
Yeah, yeah. And we have to note, finally here, that U.S. Soccer, as a federation, they do approve the candidates, right? So they did approve the former president, Carlos Cordero, to run again in this upcoming election.
Correct. Mm. And again, I'll refer back to 2017 or 18 when I became a candidate. Excuse me. I was getting phone calls from other campaign managers that were inserting themselves at the last minute at that point. And how could they pass a background check that I did? And how could they insert themselves with three candidate support in such a very short period of time? And then all of a sudden they're on the scale. And, you know, it took me months to get all that done. So there's some concerning factors within how the voting process or the candidacy process is. And, you know, there's people inside the United States Soccer Federation that are on the governance committee. I'm sure, depending on who it is, can move things along a little faster and also turn a blind eye to a conflict of interest type of a candidate. And I believe Cordero is one of those people. I think he's in conflict of interest with all the things that we've talked about over the years, Major League Soccer, Don Garber, some Soccer United marketing, World Cup bids, all those kind of things. So that's concerning. Sidney Cohn obviously inherited the position. I don't have really much to say about Cindy, other than, you know, like I said, she inherited a lot of the stuff, but she was also there as a VP and turned a blind eye on NWSL factors and athletes councils that were and former national team players that were there that knew of some of these allegations that are now surfacing. So it really is just a Ferris wheel of the same thing happening over and over again. And like I said, if I was running, I wouldn't be running against Cordero, and I wouldn't run against Cohn, and have that type of mentality. I'd be running for the American soccer community. So, you know, it is what it is. It's 1v1 in March, and we just got to take it from there another 4 years.
Now let's hear from former soccer player Kiesel Broom.
Guys getting signed there. And you're like, man, like, when's my time? And sometimes being patient and it's tough. But, like, seeing things on social media about this rumor about this club or that rumor about that club makes it even tougher, because you're just like, well, I don't know what that means for me. Does this mean less opportunity means more opportunity? How is this going to play out, whether not in my favor or in my favor? So, overall, it's not easy. I've been there, done that. But it's definitely a tough one, especially once the rumor mill starts spinning. And it's kind of sometimes hard to stop until the season starts getting underway.
Yeah, and I guess you don't miss that, right?
No,
you don't miss
not.
That uncertainty. But it's not like other sports in America where the conversation is always about what star player is going to go to which club. Here, it's mostly about, is that club going to be around for that next season, you know? So it doesn't really help U.S. soccer going forward. But speaking about U.S. soccer, we have the AGM coming up in March 2022. From your point of view, as a former soccer player, what do you think should be changed in the upcoming year?
You know, getting back to, you know, kind of like a non-COVID related year, you know, I mean, we say it once, we'll say it again. Obviously, we would love some type of, you know, relegation promotion type of structure, which I think would be great. But at the same time, I think, you know, the more opportunity that there is, the better that it's going to be overall. So, you know, whether it's a new league, whether it's more teams, you know, just more opportunity is the biggest thing. You know, a lot of these players are grinding hard, looking for an opportunity just to showcase their talent and earn that first contract, or whether it be stay in the league. But definitely, biggest thing I can see is just more opportunity. I mean, the U.S. is such a huge country with so much landmass to cover. There's no reason why we can't have more teams than what we have now, and just more opportunity, because there are players actively looking and actively searching to get that next step in their career. So there should be, I think there should be more for sure.
Yeah, and speaking about more opportunity, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but in the spring of 2022, we will have a new professional soccer league at the D3 level, and that league is MLS Next Pro, which is basically like MLS's reserve league mixed in with independent clubs. So as a former MLS draft pick, do you think that is a step in the right direction?
I kind of have mixed feelings about it because, you know, talking to some of my friends that were on like these MLS reserve teams back when there was a reserve league, not that they were meaningless games, but some of them were meaningless games because there was nothing they were really fighting for. Like, you know, there was no points, there was no playoffs, there was no championship. It was just kind of a keep fit with the scrimmage type thing. So if it's that type of situation, I mean, for me, I wouldn't really be too interested. But if it's something that there's a champion, like there's a legit champion, there's a playoff system, there's some type of competition that's meaningful, that's something that I think would be definitely welcomed by a lot of people because, you know, more opportunity, the better, and it gets more eyes up on the professionals. To gain more experience and things like that. But, you know, if it's just going to be like meaningless games, then yeah, I'm not really for it.
From what I understand, I believe it's meant to be a full professional league. So not that scrimmages, full-fledged professional soccer league. But the point that you were making earlier of the earlier days of the MLS Reserve League, of how it wasn't that professional. So would you say that you got more value out of playing for independent clubs and independent leagues, as in the NASL, USL, than playing potentially in the reserve leagues?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, it's a double-edged sword because, don't get me wrong, is it great to be in an MLS, club and be around the first team players and in that structure? 100%. I think there's a lot of value that can come out of that. But I think the meaningful games and the competitiveness is what all players are looking for the further on their career, because they're not really going to grow as a player if they're not playing meaningful games. So sometimes the independent club are great, but in terms of a player's development, and sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know. And sometimes that who you know can get you kind of to the next level more than kind of, you know, what you know or how good you are sometimes. But I personally think that, you know, sometimes the independent clubs being able to produce at that level gains more opportunity to work towards that MLS being in that MLS structure or that team, that club, more than anything. So even if it is back at that reserve level, you're still getting first team minutes, whether it be Open Cup or whatever the case is. But working at an independent club can pave that way from there.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of First Team Podcast. Thanks to our sponsors, our presenting sponsor, Diazza Sportswear. If you are in the market for custom soccer apparel, you can check out our friends based out of New York City. That is Diazza Sportswear. And please check out their website at diazza.us. I will be back next week with my fellow contributors. And hopefully we will have a couple of other storylines on next week's episode. So stay tuned, because we will be adding more contributors and we will hopefully have some more interviews over the next couple of weeks as this NISA NAFC storyline breaks down and we get more details. And also heading into the U.S. Soccer Federation election, we are expanding our content on our website and on social media. So stay tuned for those additions to our lineup. And I will be back next week. And if you want to contact the show, you can email us at firstteampod@gmail.com. And I will read out your comments on next week's episode. And please follow us and join the conversation and keep up to date with everything that is going on in lower division soccer. We are on Facebook and Twitter @FirstTeamPod. And as always, let's go New York City Soccer.